Hello and welcome to the Innovative Missional Ministry Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, video journalist and digital media director for the Michigan District. And today we're joined by Pastor Greg Finke and his wife Susan. And we're trying to unpack what joining Jesus on his mission looks like, and what better way to do that than through a podcast, right?
Sure.
Now, you're both no strangers to the Michigan District. You've got a long history here, which is awesome.
Yeah. No, we do. We in 1989, we're standing in line at the seminary, finding out, you know, where are they sending us? And I literally had never even been to Michigan before. And here I was being sent there to Midland. So, yeah, and then we were there 18 years. Wow. So,
and Susan, yeah, what are you thinking? Have you been to Michigan? What was your...
I had only been there once for the wedding of a friend. So that was it. But, we went in going, oh my goodness, where are we going out in the middle of a cornfield somewhere? And ended up being there 18 years, right. And we grew up, and our church grew up, we all grew up together is what we like to say, and it's a wonderful place.
Yeah, so we were, I mean, just for people that don't know, we were assigned to Messiah in Midland or Bullet Creek, so that was fun. First Sunday there was 52 people.
And it's crazy to see where it's at now.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
But
that just shows
to grow. And
if God can use us, He can use anybody.
Now, author of Joining Jesus on His Mission and authors of Joining Jesus as a Family. So talk a little bit about what got you away from the pastor in a church and now doing what you're doing now.
Yeah, and I know it sounds like the right answer, but truly, it was God. I never wanted to be a pastor. God made me be a pastor. I never wanted to stop being a pastor, and all of a sudden, it was very clear that I was being called out of being a local pastor of a congregation and into more of a role of coming alongside pastors and congregations. And so that was a slow process. We were busy being the senior pastor, but as we were presenting, you know, how to be able to, as we say, join Jesus on his mission. For a very long time, it was about how do we get people to come to church? And that worked really well right up till it didn't work so well anymore. And then it was like, okay, we've attracted all the people that are interested in church. We grew to 1,200 in worship, but it began to round off. And that's when we started realizing we needed to go back into the places where we live, work, play, go to school, and be who we are, and be able to take the love of God, the good news of God, the experience of that into other places. And turns out when we would go and speak with other, you know, conferences, other churches, that was just something God was doing in a lot of places. And finally, we stepped out of being the senior pastor of a very large church in order to start this, and wasn't sure just how it would go. But that was 2011, and we have been busy, you know, ever since. Yeah. So,
and you both talk about being a missionary. What does that mean to you?
Yeah. Well, I think the first thing is to realize mission means purpose. Mm-hmm. So, if we think of missionary as a Jesus salesperson, then that's very scary. If it's missionary, I go out and convert people for Jesus. Well, that sounds like something I can't do. But that's not what it is. It means I live my life on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a beloved child of God. I have the love of God in abundance. And I go out with a purpose. I look for people who need a little bit of what I have in abundance. And living life on purpose that way has its result. God does the resulting, right? Mm-hmm. But it's me going out with that sense of simple purpose.
Well, and I think, you know, when we were growing up, it was missionaries are overseas. Mm-hmm. And they're going over and they're living among the people. They're getting relationships with the people and earning the trust of the people and sharing the good news of Jesus. And, you know, our culture now is not a church culture. It's not a, we are missionaries right in our own places where God has put us. And so where we live in our neighborhoods, we're living with the people just like, missionaries overseas, but it doesn't require us to, it's not us doing the work, it's God put us in this place, and then we get to be a part of what he's doing.
Yeah, and the reason it's scary is we just simply are inexperienced in it. We think it's something bigger and more complicated and harder than it really is, right? And I'm working with a smaller Lutheran body, 110 congregations in North America, but 1,500 mission sites around the world. And what we were able to help them realize is they were very good at raising up and sending out and supporting missionaries, but they didn't know how to be a missionary in their own community. And so while not, they're going to continue to be supportive of these 1,500 mission sites around the world, but become more intentional about living on purpose in their own neighborhoods.
Yeah, and that was one of the cool things that, and I think we can all kind of take away from is, how do we, and how do you teach this not to be overwhelming or being that missionary in your own backyard? How do you, like, the picture you have of Jesus says, go out and be a missionary, and the eyes are huge, right?
Yeah.
And
then
the mouth is wide open, right. So,
well, 99% of it, you know, a little bit of it, 1% maybe, is saying, hey guys, in the Bible, it actually is simpler than we think. I mean, we're Lutheran. We can't even save ourselves. What do you think we're going to go out and save other people? It's just off the table. It's not our job. But loving people, telling the stories of life with Jesus as we're having dinner together and they're asking questions, yeah, we can do that. And so being able to know that is one little piece. But Jesus, the way he convinces people, he says, come follow me. And that's what we've done before is, you know, when we're trying to help people catch on, back when we were, you know, pastor and wife in a church, we invited people to come to the events that we were putting on in our neighborhood. And they saw what happened when you share some food, share some laughs, share some stories, and all of a sudden they're convinced. They saw it. And they're like running home and making plans for how they can do it too. So it's like, come follow me. Let me show you how this works. And all of a sudden all those fears and complications kind of bleed away. And they're like, well, this I can do.
Yeah. Well, and I think a lot of times people are afraid that they don't know enough. They're going to be asked a question they can't answer. And you know, being this missionary, they have to have all the right answers. And that's not, we're just called to love people. And when Jesus said, you will be my witnesses, a witness on a witness stand talks about what they have seen and heard. You can't just talk about something. You have to share what you have seen and heard. And so when we realize that as missionaries, we don't have to have every right answer about everything in the Bible, but we can share the stories of what God has done in our life. And when we get to know people and we learn their stories and we are sharing and trusting, then that's easier to do.
Yeah, much better than lecturing, standing in front of someone, right? And getting the blackboard out.
It's always better to listen to what are the questions they're asking, and then you can respond to them, rather than going in and answering questions they're not asking. And then that's just kind of, you know, it doesn't connect. So that's where hospitality opens up the way for conversation, which then opens up, have you ever heard? Or this is what I have experienced, and does that sound like something you would want to? And all you're doing is telling your story of life with Jesus. You know, he died and rose for the forgiveness of my sins. That sounds pretty simple, but most people have not connected the dots that that's good news for them too, not just for, you know, the folks that have their act together or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and now after COVID, people are craving relationship anyway in our country. And now they've been coming off of a dry spell, and in Michigan they're coming off of winter as well. So now is the time to get outside and be with your neighbors and picnic and party and share some stories.
Right, and that's as easy as just making yourself available in the front yard, right? Or going to a neighbor asking how they're doing, right? What are some of those things that maybe you've noticed post COVID? You said you see more people are craving it now.
Yeah, there's been a bunch of different studies. So the level of a sense of disconnection and isolation is more than ever. Interestingly, though, an openness to God and spiritual conversations is also at a high. Now those are like Barna National surveys, right? We found the exact same thing in our neighborhood. We now live in St. Paul. People that are They are eager to stop and talk. They're eager to say yes to a soup supper or a wine club or coming over for an evening of relaxing around a fire, and the openness of, you know, well, how did you handle XYZ? And I'm still struggling with ABC. Now all of a sudden we are transparent, humble, and able to offer some things that, you know, they may have heard about religiously, you know, in a religious context, but they hadn't met somebody that actually has a value on this, living it out in daily life. And if you think about it, many, many people don't have, they have religious people, they have churchy people, but living a life of abundance out of the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness that we have in a relationship with Jesus, too many folks don't have a relationship with somebody like that. And so it's a jumble, it's a bunch of data, it doesn't make sense, it sounds hypocritical, whatever it might be. And that all starts to be resolved when we're sitting there having a glass of something to sip on, and we're getting to know each other as friends. And pretty soon people are saying stuff like, I really like hanging out with you. I'm not even sure why, right? But it's like, well, it's that light, salt aroma of Christ. And then all it takes is that opportunity to say, so how are you doing? And now that the real conversation starts.
We found, well, in Michigan, we had a swing underneath a huge old willow tree, and we lived out in the country, and people would walk past and then come and join us on the swing. And, you know, it was a way to talk and spend some time with people. That swing then was on our front porch in Texas, and we were the only one in the cul-de-sac that had a front porch, but we'd sit out there and then people, it just happened, you know, conversations happened. So in St. Paul, we didn't have a big willow tree, nor did we have a front porch, but we took our swing and made a
big stand.
Yeah, kind of thing, and put it in the front yard. And the first night that we put it out there and sat out on the swing, we had several neighbors who came and joined us, and we had long conversations that we had not had with them before. And all it required was us to just sit out in our front yard.
And we had a white wine chilling. And we were able to offer them, hey, you want to sit down and have a sip with us? And surprisingly, they said yes.
Yeah, shocking, right? So right now, there's a whole generation, and my daughter's one of them. She's 15. My son is 13. They spend so many hours on their phone, right? Mm-hmm. They are engaged in technology. Their head is in their phone. What does joining Jesus on his mission look like for that generation?
Well, I think, you know, the fun part is you can sit down with them and talk with them about that. They generally already have lots of friendships with people that don't know Jesus. The longer someone's in a church, the more they kind of narrow down their relationships to people that believe like them, think like them, vote like them. Nothing wrong with that. But our kids are often not in that. Even kids going to Lutheran schools have kids from a variety of backgrounds, right? And so that becomes the fun of talking with them about how do you notice and care and love and have interest and be able to help them to be more tactical, if you will. Mm-hmm. I mean, tactical as in relational. We often find that young people will respond and engage in the joining Jesus kind of mindset and lifestyle faster than the older people, primarily because, one, they already have friendships with people that don't know Jesus. And so they already know them. They already care. And now it's learning how to look for and see the opportunities that they didn't recognize as God kind of preparing things. Now they see, you know, God's fingerprints on it, and it's really cool to hear them. And so when they come back from school, then as you sit around the table at night and you're eating your food or you're driving, you know, to the next thing, but now we have something to talk about. Hey, how's it going? What'd you see today? Who were you able to talk with? What good were you able to do? And by just asking those questions, they're already there. Jesus is already there. They already have friends that don't know Jesus. Yeah. So what's happening? And it's really cool then to see them kind of start to connect the dots. They have stories, and they're going in every day with a clear, simple sense of purpose. Okay. Yeah.
Our youngest grew up going to public school, and And it was interesting. We had heard her speak before, and she said, "I was looking for God in school every day and what he was wanting for me to notice, because I knew my mom and dad were going to ask me about it every night." But it also caused her to be aware and how God was using her. She's now graduated from college, but she had not too long ago somebody from high school who contacted her and said, "I want you to know that I'm getting baptized this week." And a lot of it came from a conversation we had late one night in the car. And I wanted you to know that that was not in vain. And, no. You know, it's just really a neat thing. Our kids, they're right in the mission field, and we need to equip them to.
The key is we, you know, as Lutherans and really as North American Christians, we read in the Bible about proclaiming, preaching, those kinds of words, right? And then we associate that with professionals that are highly educated in a theological setting, aka seminary. But those are really not the words. The Bible uses those words with people that were sharing good news. Proclaiming comes from a word that means good newsing people. Right? Preaching is the word.
I don't know if that's grammatically correct.
No, that's Greek, right?
Yeah.
Or is it Hebrew?
Yeah, no, it's English or Greek. The same with the word that is translated preaching. There's a couple different, but the one that we think of as preaching most is never applied to a Christian congregation. It's applied to going into places where they have not yet heard. And so if we can stop thinking of it as I got to set up a pulpit and start proclaiming God's word in the cafeteria, and more about sitting with people and offering them just a little good news. And the good news is mostly about God has great worth that he has in you, and you are of great value to him, and that you are loved. These are simple things that too many kids are growing up not really experiencing. And even if they're going to church, a lot of times they're not in relationships where that's affirmed. And so the good news of God's love and forgiveness and value and your worth, and he forgives you so that you're freed up to live a life of love for the good of other people, all of a sudden that answers all these tough questions that kids are asking. Who am I? What of any value do I have for others? What's my purpose? What's the point? Well, you're a beloved child of God. You've got his love in abundance, and now we get to go look for people that need a little bit of that and help them experience it. And now a kid that thought they were lost, unworthy, out, are suddenly good news. Yeah. And it's within reach of any of us to do that. Not a 20-minute sermon. Yeah.
So, what are those practical? And I know we've talked about them already. What are those first steps that we need to know, to see, to feel, to whatever it might be, so to become that missionary?
As tricky as it sounds, we need to open our eyes and look, right? So no matter who I'm talking to in a church, when I send them home or send them to work or send them to school, they are literally within feet of people that don't know Jesus. And so look for them. They're already there. Then what's their name, right? If you don't know their name, what's their name? What's their story? If you don't know the story, then it's time for a cup of coffee or some way that we sit down and we become friends. Again, these are not strangers on the street. These are people that live within, you know, reach of us. These are people that work already with us or in school and having lunch together with us. So it's take note of who it already is and then have the fun of introducing and getting to know. And then you're not in charge of results, so just enjoy them and see how that goes. And a lot of times, you know, we have these expectations that, you know, if I start this conversation, it should end in a baptism, maybe a tongue of fire on their head. And it's like, no, it ends with a dot, 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 you know, an ellipsis.
Sure.
This story will be continued. And maybe I'll have a piece of it, probably will, because I'm going to see them again tomorrow. Or it might be a dot, 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 because somebody else is going to pick up and have a little addition to that story. Who's in charge of all that? It's God. I wake up every day. I just live with that sense of anticipation and awareness. That's the biggest thing. And once that starts to happen, then the stories start the conversations start, and now all of a sudden you are having people baptized.
That's great. I love that, that it ends in an ellipsis, yeah, because our expectations definitely...
Like a big old exclamation point.
What are some of those resources that you have available that can help people out there?
Yeah, well, the one that is simplest is, you know, the Joining Jesus as on His Mission book. Mm-hmm. It's available on our website, dwelling114.org. Or if you want to just get one copy, probably, you know, amazon.com. But if you wanted to get some for a small group or something, talk, you know, email me and we can get those to you. We also have a video curriculum. But ultimately, once people have the books and the videos, again, that's the idea, but they still need someone to model and mentor them. Mm-hmm. And that's where really the meat and potatoes of what we do is not just the books and the podcasts and the speaking. Mm-hmm. It's the modeling and mentoring so that we're helping people take their baby steps into this, you know, gaining experience in this lifestyle so that, you know, after about a year, you know, you're rocking and rolling and you don't even remember the Finkies.
That's hard to imagine, though.
Yeah.
Well, in our most recent book that just came out is Joining Jesus as a Family. And it's not just for parents, but it's for anybody who is influential in the life of a child. So teachers and grandparents and foster parents and all of that. If you're the grandma on the neighborhood block, it's a book that can help you to influence our kids from an early age to be so they're not intimidated or have the big deer in the headlight eyes when they're thought to be a missionary in their neighborhood.
Yeah, the it's an old saying, you know, clarity leads to intentionality. If I have a clarity about how to raise my child to be a follower of Jesus, it certainly includes going to church, but obviously if it's just going to church, it should be working. And too many of our people, you know, they go through high school and they leave and they're gone. So we're going back to the Bible and saying, you know, what is a way to raise a child so there's an experience along with that teaching so that now they're going, ah, I get it. I experienced it. I have stories about it. And now they're convinced, right? Yeah. And that's and that clarity of how that happens leads to parents being able to be intentional day by day to help facilitate that, right? And so that's what the book kind of tries to identify and unpack so that parents are like, well, this I can do.
Yeah, and it's not brain surgery, right?
Right.
And you don't need to go to St. Louis or Fort Wayne in order to do it. So, well, thank you both so much for joining us, and we appreciate all your time and absolutely appreciate your insight. We will have to have you back on for round 2 and 3 and 4. So,
thank you, Jenna.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah.
Thank you, the listener, for making this podcast part of your day.